Welcome to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
Ooh la la.
See, I was wondering who was going to do it first, whether it would be you or me who would do a very poor and very ordinary French kind of word.
Must be said, my grasp of the French language is quite poor.
I did Hogan's Heroes when
did
I
German.
Was at school.
And I think from my French lessons at school, I know two French words in total.
Well, I know three, and they are Jean-Christophe Novelli.
Oh, nicely. Nice, just rolls off the tongue.
Season 16 of MasterChef started this week. He is the new judge in town.
He's having a great time.
He is. He's a Michelin MasterChef.
Yeah.
He's got everything
but
going
he's
for
dedicated
him.
To mentoring home cooks who are the kind of cooks you find on MasterChef. Chef.
Well, he's had a school that he's been running in London now for about nearly 20 years, so he's well-versed with all that stuff. And he's a real character.
He is. We had a lot of fun with him, as you'll hear.
So Jean-Christophe Novelli is coming up very, very soon. Also, of course, our poll. Now, a lot of people – now, let me just put this on the record.
Okay.
A lot of people say that we're off our scones. We are
well,
not.
Speak for yourself. Yeah, well, we did put scone up against scone because I think we need a nice hot scone in this kind of weather.
Yeah, it's – good weather for
the old Flo's pumpkin scone up against the date scone. My mum does a great date scone.
Also, we have a special little a bit for you too, revisiting St. Vincent's Hospital again. And this time we're going to introduce you to one of the cancer patients and get her story. So that's coming up a little later on. But first up, okay, get ready. Everyone, we're going to do it. We're going to do our...
Let's get the music going.
Time for the little French.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
No, we're not doing it. Here he is, Jean-Christophe Novelli.
You're listening to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
How
are you?
Sorry, we're just taking in the accent. We're just swimming in the accent for the first couple of moments. Welcome to Australia and welcome to MasterChef.
Thank you so much.
Jean-Christophe, season 16 of MasterChef Australia. What are you looking forward to?
Well, I think you come to the point where, you know, you've tried and tried so many different dishes, you know, so many different recipes. You know damn well that, you know, having the right environment, the right equipment, the right ingredients. I mean, I'm talking the food was unbelievable. And the right attitude, the contestants were seriously, really, you know, they were perfectly chosen to compete. When you think 22 candidates out of, nearly 50,000 applicants. Do you imagine? The selection is just extraordinary. So we are the best of the best, you know, and, you know, the show it is officially the best cooking competition show on the planet. And also, it's the longest when you think. It's like running a marathon. So it's quite intimidating, and that's my answer. When I first arrived, I thought, you know what, I don't know, when I went through those doors, the MasterChef doors, I felt like when I was in the army, I was 18 years old, we had to jump on the planes. But what I'm saying is, it was very similar, the flashback came up. You are jumping into something which is like, you don't know where you're going to be landing. You know it's going to be exciting. It's very true what I meant. And you're not there by accident, and you just can't say, you know, after 2 weeks, you know what, I've got an headache, I don't think I will come tomorrow. You cannot. You have a responsibility as a judge, you know. So the four of us, I think we were very well matched, very well, because I'm sure you. I mean, Andy, you know, he's the voice, he's the legacy of the show. I mean, he is so good. I've got to say, he's bloody good. I mean, I was watching him. And I was like, you know what, that boy, because I've got young kids, by the way, young boys, you know, and they are young, and they're going to be one day like him, you know, coming from out of nowhere and showing, you know, I can do it, anybody can do it, you know, and that's what I love. You know, you've got to expect the unexpected. And I was watching, and I said, you know what, when I got my first Michelin star, that chap wasn't even born.
That's
I remember I said to him, he said, Jean-Christophe, I love the way he speaks to me with his sexy Australian accent. Because also men have sexy accents, by the way, not just the girls. And he said, Jean-Christophe, just to remind you, they're not professional chefs. They are amateur cooks.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting they were so good.
Yeah.
And then we have Po. So Po, I can be standing next to her for days and just listening to her. She is just therapeutically lovely. I mean, she knows all the details. I mean, she can see the back of a spoon and she will tell you everything which is right or wrong. And she knows because she's experienced and she's an artist. And then we have the beautiful Sophia. She has the most outstanding smile on the planet.
Yes.
In fact, I call her Nige.
Nige.
Because she knows she's been around. She's traveled. She's been to places I've never been. And she's so eloquent. When you listen to her, it's beautiful. So whoever got us together was very smart.
You are a Michelin star chef, but how did your own culinary journey begin back in France?
Well, I started because my mom is a very good cook. And my mom was very quiet. I can't really explain the details, but I think she used cooking as a therapy. And I was the oldest of the family. So I was very hyperactive. I had problems with concentration. And I used to have a massive appetite every single day. I was like a burning machine. So you can imagine the draining kid, that you drain the most. Yeah. So my mom managed to tune me into helping doing the garlic, the beans, or doing the herbs, or doing cutting the cherries, tomato, or the baby potatoes, or whatever. And I used to keep myself focused, and I loved it. I loved it because it was my way to get two things. One is to get close to my mom because she was not very kissing and this and that. She's most amazing, but she has a different way to show love. And I love my food. I knew. So what she did indirectly, she got me into what I am today. But I've never learned. I was passing on. And also she's got an amazing sense of smell, which I have, which that's a tribute. That's the gift. This is the gift of life. And my daughter's got it too. And one of my son, Jacques, who's the gourmet, Jacques Novelli, he is also very fine with his sense of smell, aroma, and so on. So, by the age of 14, I was a baker. And I remember people saying, oh my God, poor kid is going to work at 14 year old. And I'm like, you must be bloody joking. I love it. I'm alive. I'm using my five senses. I'm doing something I love. I was born at the age of 14. Mm.
You though proclaimed, did you not, to your school friends around the age of 8 or 9 that you were going to be a chef when you grew up? That was going to be your profession. You knew back then.
I tell you a story. So I was I was very good playing football, and I was very good and charming the girls, especially the girls. At that time when I was 10. And I remember it was a lovely girl. She had some beautiful blue eyes. And I was like, wow, she's beautiful. You know, when you're a kid, you give a kiss on the cheek and that's it. You feel like you are, Marlon Brando. And she came one morning. I came down from the stairs. It was the men's stairs going to the classes upstairs, of course. And she was there next to the ramp. And she put her hands on her hip, both hands on both hips. And she looked at me and she ignored me. I said, excuse me, hello, Beatrice. Her name was Beatrice. I remember. And then she said, I don't want you to be my boyfriend anymore. So Marlon Brando now is losing his role. <He's been kicked out. laughs> I said, what? And she said, I've just found out somebody told me that you want to become a chef and I want to be with someone with a real job. I want a real man with a real job. And I did not understand or comprehend what the hell she was on about. But I can see she was serious and she turned her back and she walked off. She went off with somebody else. So I felt like, I felt very disappointed. Then again, she opened my mind and realized, you know what? That's the best way to start from nowhere. Because I have actually realized I enjoy myself to be next to my mom and doing all this little preparation with her and getting the smell from the oven to start to appear, and she used to put a dish on the middle of the table on time, and it was always different. And bear in mind, she didn't have that much to cook with, but she always managed to turn it. And I just realized, you know what, this I know nothing about what it's all about. And this is my key. This is my passport. This is my suitcase to move on. And so I stick as a chef. I become, as I said, a baker. Then I become a chef. Then I work for Elie de Rothschild and Lillian, which were the big boss of the Rothschilds. They were the bankers at them home. And they got me to speak English. They sent me to England. The story never stopped. And I look back now, I'm feel very nostalgic because I've actually forgotten that I'm 63. I've just realized, I'm not giving some nonsense, by the way. I've just realized, oh my God. You know, when you have a good time, you realize it's late. Yeah. I'm going to go back home. It's the same. I'm 63. When I look at my daughter, she's like a beautiful lady. She used to be my little baby. I was there when she at birth. And I keep calling her my baby. She's a woman. She's like a young, very mature lady. So if something is wrong in my head, I forgot. My watch has stopped again. And so the question is, don't think about the past. Think of the present and the future. I believe that's the best way. Yeah. Am I going to be doing this for the next 50 years? I really hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. Time certainly does fly. And interesting, talking about the present and the present day, you're no stranger to television. Is being on camera your happy place? Is it a comfortable fit for you?
Well, you've got a lovely accent. Do that again, please.
That's okay.
Oh, I love that. Do that slowly, please. I'm going to sit down now. What?
I was saying, is being on camera a comfortable fit for you?
I don't think about camera. You know what? It's funny you said that. I mean, to go on MasterChef as a judge, you know, you've got to be, you know, obviously there's a bit of pedigree behind for all of us, yeah? So the thing is, I am me. I'm not just passionate because I'm a chef. I'm passionate because I was born passionate. And thanks to my lovely parents, this is what I've been passed on. How many times you don't know behind the scene, I was told, you know, from the gallery, Jean-Christophe, can you go on the right? Jean-Christophe, can you go on the left? Jean-Christophe, can you shut up? Yeah. You know how many times they used to put somebody just on my back, just like with strings, you know? Come on, da-da. So how do I feel with camera? I didn't even realize with camera. Do you know how many times Andy used to laugh behind the scene, thinking he's lost, he doesn't know where he's going? Because I don't know. In one moment, yeah, for example, because we have a lingo. Ah, yes, you need to listen to that. So MasterChef has a lingo. So my girls, you know, feedback in England, in the UK, they gave me a list of things that we have to learn as judge. You know, for example, the set of the nations. So we have an earpiece, and Tommy said, right, Jean-Christophe, obviously I don't hear anything else from the others, so I just hear myself say, all right, Jean-Christophe, you're going to move to the state of the nation. And I'm like, so what? So I asked one of the cameramen, I said, is the politician going to come over and do a speech? He said, no, you got to move over there with the rest of the judge and make a statement. So... And then they told me to go to the gantry. I didn't even know where the gantry was. So you can see clearly, but it's the best way. Because, you know, the thing is with TV, and I think this war MasterChef is a success, is everything, anyone and everyone who has participated to the making of the show, back from 16 years ago, and I'm talking from the kitchen porters to the top seat, every single people, all the judges, everyone, and obviously, bless Jock, obviously, he is a phenomenon, that man. You know, he was. And, you know, when you think we sadly also lost, you know, some members, obviously I can't say too much details. When you think he's a family, and this is more important than trying to become a star. And he shows, and people love it. And everyone from around the world is the only show that has been viewed by 150 different countries. Mm. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I keep saying hello to everybody because, you know, I've never said hello in so many different languages in my life. It's all the time I was told I was not polite enough.
You're obviously, it's a show that obviously allows you to have a lot of fun and to interact with the people who are coming through and trying to emulate what you've done in your career. Is there one thing that you tell them? Is there one sort of message that you give through your cookery school that you run in England and with these MasterChef contestants? Is there one message you have for them?
Oh, you've got a sexy accent, mate. Sorry, I got distracted by your voice. So the message will be, if I can give a message, of course, but I think I'm probably old enough to allow myself to do so, because I made a lot of mistakes and I've always tried to recover my mistakes and move on. So I think the best is just be yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try to... And I know I did it. I used to many years ago, many, many, many years, where I was trying to impress rather than trying to express. And so I'm not trying to be a bit of a a gig or what, but it's very true. We tend to, I mean, I guess you keep fit. I'm sure you must be keeping fit. Australian people in general are very fit. So you must have done some races before, and you know damn well from the starting line. You there, you prepare, and then after 1-2 kilometers, you're running somebody else's pace or speed or trying to follow, or because you've been impressed by someone, so you want to be like that person, and you forgot who you are, and you forgot you got a way of doing things. So you start losing out. You don't breathe the same way. You don't enjoy the rest anymore, and then you struggle, and then you are hanging on the line. And then it's been a cauchemar, a disaster. So instead... just try to cook things simple at first. Make sure it's done very well. And use the best of the ingredients, which are there all the time, the best equipment, and enjoy it. People, I know it's a competition, but enjoy it. It shows, you know, your happiness, your sense of excitement, allow you that little extension at the last 30 seconds to add something which is you, your personality. You know, and most of them, all the contestants, the 22 contestants we had, they all had a story.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like script. Yeah, I love that, because I know when somebody's bullshit. Oh, sorry, when somebody's trying to give me some nonsense, I know that. I can smell it. I can't. I've got a filter around me straight away and an alarm clock. And I would take that, because you know what? I just move on. But they were not. You can see they try not to cry. They try not to say too much. And they're passing on a dish that the grandmother was doing, or the mom, or the sister, or the dad, or the dad is, you know, as they're not in touch, but they remember they used to make pancakes or I don't know, a raven soup or whatever. It's just, and it's you see them also doing things, because I'm very French. I'm sure you noticed that. So I'm very French in my tradition. So let's go back to my point. As a Frenchman, the cooking, I'm quite obsessed with French classic and traditional. I'm to the extremes, yeah. And when I see someone coming from a different country, living in Australia, very happily living as a family here, and you know, and they are bringing a dish from an origin country, from Asia, or from, and you can see they're trying to do a twist of the French into something Asian. Oh my God. Oh my God. What a delight. To be on the show is one thing, but what we discover is we mesmerize. You know what? Don't tell any. It's a radio. Sorry, I need to ask the lovely lady next to me. Am I doing a radio interview?
Yeah.
A radio interview.
As in now?
So everybody's listening to me. Yeah. I was just going to give you a tip. So am I doing a radio interview?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought it was journalist. I'm sorry. I'm not a I was going to say, I'm going to say something, but don't tell anyone. Which one radio station is that? Oh my God. What an idiot. Oh my God, what an idiot I am. I can't believe that. Oh, so what was I saying? I completely forgot what I just said. Oh my God.
We were talking about your message, basically, but I think we
be yourself is the number one thing, and you certainly are that, and we are so looking forward to seeing what else there is about you in this series of MasterChef.
You are going to love it.
Jean-Christophe, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy your stay in Australia, and we've loved having a chat with you.
Thank you.
Grosse bise à tout le monde. Je vous embrasse. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir. Thank you.
You're listening to Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.
Fabulous to have him on the program.
He certainly warmed up to the task, didn't he?
I think MasterChef viewers are going to love him.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, he's...
They'll embrace him and he'll embrace them.
Off to a flyer is season 16.
For sure. Get on to it.
And now, before we get to our food poll, I want you to meet someone special. Now, we've done on a couple of occasions on Food Bites. We've gone to St Vincent's. Mm-hmm. We've spoken to Carolyn Baker, who is the Director of Breast Surgery there. We've also spoken to one of the breast care nurses, Andrea Cannon.
Yes.
And now we're going to introduce you to one of the patients.
Yes.
The lady's name is Paz. She's a patient. She's suffering from breast cancer, but let's let her tell her story.
Yes, let's do that. Tell us or give us an insight into your own personal cancer journey.
It's terrible, but you need to fight, you know. It's lucky because still I'm here, I survived. Thanks for all the doctor and the nurses that they look after me. It's very appreciated.
Now, Paz, you have breast cancer and you've undergone some surgery and some chemotherapy. How have you handled that?
It's hard because I live on my own, but I push myself. That's why I said to all my doctors and nurses, I think it's big help to being on my own because I can't rely anyone except myself. That's why before I need to take my tablets, I need to push myself. Doesn't matter. I'm still very weak. Had to move, but I need to push myself because I need to eat before I taking my tablets. That's why I said to all my doctors, I think it's big help for me to being on my own because I didn't rely to anyone except myself.
Another big help, I'm sure, Paz, to you has been the St. Vincent's wig and headwear studio. How has that helped you?
Oh, big help. No, big help. Because before, I using only my hat, you know. I buy hat to cover my getting bald. Mm. And one in a sudden that someone calling at me and they give me an appointment to get the wig. And I'm very happy because one time I'm going to my appointment in St. Vincent and I wearing my hat and big wind is coming and I fly my hat and I follow it, you know. And I'm very at the time. And that's why after they give me a wig, I didn't worry anything. I didn't always hold my hat because I'm scared to fly again. That's why that wig is very, very big, helpful to me. They give back my confidence, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't walk. I ride a tram when I'm going to buy grocery to Kohl's. I didn't worry because everyone's look at me that I look young. They said, also my family, and when I ring them back in Philippines, they told me that I'm not look sick person. They told me that I'm look young. That's what they said. It's big help for me.
So big obviously help. It's made you feel a lot better about yourself, and it's made going through what you're going through a little easier to handle.
Yeah. Everything is getting easy. That's why I didn't attempt to go out because I'm not worried about that. Maybe my heart is dry again, you know. It's big help, love. It's big help. That's why I said to all my doctors, thank you to all that.
They're a pretty special team at St. Vincent's, aren't they?
Yes, everyone's helping me. I'm very appreciated. Thanks God that I have people like that to helping me, you know. It's big confidence to helping me doing like that, bossy, that wig. Big help, you know.
Paz, we want to wish you all the best in your journey and your recovery. We're glad that they managed to put a smile on your face in what's a pretty harrowing experience.
Yes. St. Vincent's is the best. All the doctors and the nurses is the best, my God. Very appreciated. I always thank God that I encounter all the people like that, you know.
Yeah.
All my surgeons, you know, it's very, very, very appreciated.
Good on you, Paz. Good luck and thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for ringing me back.
So fabulous to catch up with Paz and put a human face to the story and to a smiling human face too. What a character she is.
Just pushing home the difference something like that can make.
Yep. Now, you'll find a donation link on our Facebook page for St. Vincent's and in particular for the wig and hair salon. If you'd like to help out and you can, please do.
Yep.
All right. but let's
now,
get to the poll.
We are going to put scone up against scone.
Yes.
It's the date variety up against the pumpkin variety. Whoa. Some people said, why didn't you just put a plain one in there? Because I thought that would be no fun. Old Croaky. Yeah. I know plain's your favourite, Kevin.
Yes, it is.
Old Croaky, we love Old Croaky. He says, I love both, but due to their availability, I eat more date scones than the pumpkin ones. Mm. Both taken to another level if smeared with real butter. Yeah, you've got to use real butter.
And you've got to smear them, apparently. Stephen Quatermain says, date, please.
Rebecca Madden says, date all the way.
Lynn says, pumpkin, please.
Sue says, pumpkin, yay. Date. Cockroaches, the same thing. Really?
There you go. Well, there's a similarity in the look of them, I guess.
I don't know about the texture.
Peter Hitchener says pumpkin, please.
Oh, good on you, Hitch. Patricia says pumpkin for her.
Terry Daniel says, look, it's a tough one, but I'll lean towards the dates gone.
Rebecca says pumpkin, dates. Ugh. People think just because you're a vegan, you like dates. Well, it's a hard pass from me.
Lena says pumpkin for me, please.
Yes. Artie says, my name's not Flo, but I love pumpkin scones.
It is now, Artie. Silvana says, look, neither of them, really. I would like the plain ones.
Flo Biocchi-Peterson was famous for her pumpkin scones, wasn't she?
I was
she?
In Queensland at the time. And it was a running joke with everyone, but she actually made beautiful pumpkin scones.
I hope she
scones.
Handed the recipe down. Muriel says date every time.
David says both. However... Oh. However, says David, one must use the foundation scone recipe from the Cookery the Australia Way book.
We had that book at school.
No sugar, soda water, no BS. Oh. Just the old-fashioned rubbing in method with your self-raising flour and butter with milk progressively added.
Well, there you go.
Thank you, that's David. Bonus recipe again this week.
Controversial in itself. Yes. Deborah says either... but with butter, never margarine.
Fair enough. Charlene says, I love pumpkin scones. Date, not so much.
Lydia, warm date scones with lashings of, again, real butter.
Smeared lashings of real butter.
Pile it on.
Annie says, date scones, my nan used to make them.
Die roll date.
Davin says, date scones are the best.
Those are the dates. Glenn says, oh, Paddo, how dare you ask me to make a choice.
Rachel says neither plain or cheese instead.
Oh, Rachel's put forth her own options.
There you go.
Savoury options. Right. Stephen Tuzel says date for sure.
Sue Hosking says pumpkin for me, dried fruit. Ugh.
Jim Wilson, date all day.
Mervyn Gregory Hughes says, why not have both?
Yes.
Voting's in and it's neither 10%, both 15%. Mm. There's only 75% left, so how's it go? Pumpkin, 35%.
Ooh.
The date wins just with 40%.
Well, I actually thought the pumpkin might pip the date in this poll. But there you go. And there's a bit of conjecture, as someone raised, about how you make your scones. Do you make them from scratch with the butter, rubbing it into the flour, or do you pour on the lemonade and the cream and you just smush it up?
Is it not that soda water or lemonade makes them fluffier?
Fluffier, that's exactly right.
Yeah, okay. So I like them fluffy.
Mm.
I enjoy them fluffy.
Mm. But the butter into the flour, it's more cumbersome, but that also makes for a lovely buttery texture.
Oh, yeah, that's nice too. But I love lots of butter on them as well.
Well.
Lashings of smeared butter. Or as Jean-Christophe Novelli would say, lashings of smeared butter.
Oh, I think we've done enough of the French for one day. Excuse our French, won't you?
Yes, exactly. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And Jean is part of MasterChef Season 16. We thank him for his time. Yes. Oh, no. Seriously, now we've got to go. We all the way home.
Bonsoir.
Thanks for listening to Food Bites. Check out our Facebook page for recipes, tips and all the latest news. That's Food Bites with Sarah Patterson and Kevin Hillier.